I'm going to get rowdy for a second. Okay, ready? This is a song that B.J. Thomas did, I guess, several years ago. You know, he got religion. But as long as you get religion but don't get too stuffy, it's cool. And he got religion and it ain't too stuffy. Okay.
Light the fire, hold it higher. There's a world I want so much to see. And in the night, you're alive. Go on and show just what one light can be. Shine on in the night. Shine on, be a light. Shine on, let there be a little light. Everybody needs to shine on in the night. Come on and shine on, be a light. Shine on, how the world could use some light. I know it's hard when it's so dark to think the world will ever notice you. Shibaba. But it's not dark there in your heart. Go on and show just what your light can do. Everybody needs to shine on in the night. Come on and shine on, be light. Shine on, let there be a little light. Come on, help us a little. Shine on in the night. Shine on, be a light. Come on, shine on, how the world can get some light. Shubaba, shubaba.
There's times you just have to take the attitude that we're a Crackers nightclub. You know, they make you do it. They make you have a good time when you go to Crackers. You ever been there where Danny and Ruby sing? Think twice before you go there, because they have bands marching through and congas and the Navy and the Army, and they put spotlights on you and make you do crazy things. It's so wonderful. It's the next best thing I know to communion on Sunday morning. It's going to Crackers. It's really wonderful. Sometimes we're on our knees praying when what we really need to do is go out and have a good time. And then it changes our energy. You know, when you pray, you're only thinking more about how bad things are. Praying sort of locks it in. It even gets down to the point, oh God, you know how bad it is. And when a man thinks in his heart, it's a reality he has to deal with. I think the best thing you can do when things are bad is go to Crackers. The best thing you can do when you really feel broke is go buy yourself something pretty. I'm serious. Go totally change the energy. You know what they call that in physics? How smart are you all these years I've been teaching you? Quantum leap. Yes, thank you very much. I've been sick. I've been staying home watching Gene Scott. Don came in 1 o'clock last night from choir, and he gets home about 1 o'clock, and I'm really watching Gene Scott. And I'm sitting there, damn, I don't believe it. He just collected $28 million. He said if Gaddafi had a 15-year-old daughter, it was only to molest her. And the phone's ringing, he gets money. I say this and people quit the church. $28 million. And he tells these people that he's buying these buildings downtown. I thought it was just this little temple that said on the top, Jesus saves. And he was reading the scripture of how you must keep and all the ground that was ever belongs to the Lord must be kept for the Lord and can be never used for anything else. But I didn't realize he bought the two office towers, skyscrapers alongside of it, and the hotel and the whole block that went with it. I don't know what the Lord needs with all this. $28 million. And I had to sit back and admire him because he was really getting to his people. I'm just not one of them. And the only thing that upsets me about it is he's successful. And I'm not, and I'm sitting there bitching about how well he's doing, making $28 million, when here I'm serving God to the best of my ability with so much honesty. Why is he getting $28 million and I can't get 28 in my tithing box? Don't seem fair to me. I wonder what's wrong. Every time I do an interview with Shad Helmstetter, I become totally reborn again. Now, not personally because of Shad, but because of something that clicks deep inside of me, as something that I have tried to do from the beginning of this church is to tune you into awareness, self-awareness. Now, you all have mistaken ideas, as far as I'm concerned, what awareness is. Now, awareness to you becomes becoming aware of next dimensions, becoming aware of all this and aware of all kinds of things rather than self-aware, to become self-aware. So there's a part in Scripture that says, take the mote out of your own eye first so you can more clearly see the mote in your brother's eye. So it says if you're going to do anything with knowledge, use it for self because self is the power. You are the power. You are supposed to be a child of God, an heir to heaven and all that's glorious and wonderful. You're supposed to take dominion and subject the whole earth to you. Oh, we have. We pounded her to death. We're sucking oil out of her as we speak to the ratio that you wonder, Don always wonders, what's taking the oil's place? When you live up on the top of the hill like I do, on a clear day, we can see the Long Beach skyline from Griffith Park where I live. And I look and I think about how many toilets are flushing right now. And where is it going? Now, I'm deeply concerned about this. You have to live where I live and see a view of millions of people like jewels spread out beneath you. Or go up in an airplane and ask yourself, how many showers are being taken? How many people are running their kitchen sink, their garbage disposal unit? How many people are flushing their toilet? And where is it going? And you see this hole on the earth. And the earth is supposed to be a living organism. According to science today, the whole earth, and they're finding out that they used to give you money to go kill a wolf. Now they're finding out when they went and killed the wolves, they unbalanced the whole nature of the whole terrain. And if you take any little single part out of the whole scheme of life, you disrupt the whole evolution of that life. You totally change the entire picture of what's going on. So we've learned that the earth is a beautiful organism, a living organism. It has come time for man to naturally go out to space and to colonize outer space. There is no question that we will do that. And we cannot, because the earth and its intelligence and that intelligence that we exist in the Milky Way, worlds upon worlds, and somewhere in those worlds we exist. And as you see the beautiful celestial order that the planets and the whole thing moves into, you begin to understand a little bit about the terrestrial order, the intelligence that governs that. That intelligence will never let us destroy this planet, will never let us bomb this planet. This planet will not come to the end by the United States and Russia having war. And if it starts, the scripture clearly says it will be stopped. We may do what we want to each other, but I think there is a limit to what we can do to this earth. And what we need from this earth is natural is because there are so many of us now. We took God's command literally and we went forth and we multiplied. We have multiplied until any spirit that ever wanted creation is here. Now, it is a situation that we need oil. That's a fact. We need what we need to feed this many people. You ever look down at Los Angeles and you say, where are they growing the food for this? And then you go to Vegas and you see what's shipped in there, or you go to Philadelphia and you say, where are they growing all this stuff? It's like there's some secret thing when you look back and see that even though I cannot perceive it, there is a mechanism at work. I don't think anyone totally understands how it works, but I think everyone knows they can work within it, and that's what makes it work.
It's knowing how you work within it and doing what you do within it that allows this tremendous thing that grows and feeds and takes care of the sewage and the water and everything that we use and the cloth and our trash as human beings. So far, all that has been balanced by some intelligence, God knows what. Are you with me at all? Do a Gene Scott for me and say, yes, sir. Are you with me at all? Oh, thank you. I don't have $28 million, but you can talk to me like you talk to him. So, as I'm telling you, you see this celestial intelligence where the order works. And you begin to see that beyond our understanding, there is an intelligence. I think if someone was given the job to sit down to program, a program to feed the earth, and he was the superior and everyone had to answer to him, we'd start to starve. Because I don't think a single individual or corporation could figure it out. There's some other intelligence of supply and need that occurs out there. One of the most important things of how we walk through this earth is not only what has been said to us in our growing up, year after year, layer after layer, that becomes our self-image. But the most important thing you'll ask yourself if you really want to grow is, what do you say to yourself when you are talking to yourself? And you are talking to yourself all the time. That's proven psychology. Your mind is thinking and talking to you all the time. But we don't pay too much attention. And we don't think anyone else is aware of this conversation. It's like, shut up and put away. Don't pay attention to him. And this self-talk is going on there. I can't take it anymore. That's self-talk. I'll never make ends meet. I can't make ends meet. That's self-talk. That self-talk starts a whole promotion. And when you start listening to the self-talk of others, if you can't do it for yourself, I want you to really listen to what others say and talk about themselves. And as you hear how other people talk about themselves, maybe it'll clue you into listening to what your self-talk is, and to understand both in psychology and in religion, as a man thinketh in his heart, so it is with him. As a man believes, so shall he be. Perception governs reality. Listen to the self-talk. And then you'll find out the one force that is defeating you. Why you have all the intelligence down, how you can have all the positive thinking in the world, but it still doesn't work, because even though you are consciously putting out the positive thinking, you are not listening to the self-talk that's constantly going on. I'm too fat. I'm too old. Chad Helmstetter, in his research, starts going through. He went through all the motivational things there were and then gathered the best of it all and put together the program, and it comes out calling self-talk. And to listen to what you're saying to yourself. Listen to how you face a situation. You've got problems on the job and you just can't take it anymore. You don't say this to yourself. You start saying to yourself, I love my job, I love what I'm doing, and I have the ability to handle the problem. You don't allow that talk and say, you wake up in the morning and you say, I've got so much to do, I'll never get it done. Another whole day. This is the self-talk you start with. It's proven to be very effective. Now, all the awareness that you're studying and everything you go through, they're all trying to tell you, it's as simple as this, my friend. Listen to what you think of yourself. Listen to what you say about yourself to yourself in your self-talk. Listen to what you say about yourself to others. And don't tell me what's happening to you is such a mystery. I can't make it on my own. That's self-talk. You have already started the journey. I can't make it on my own. Now, the most unbelievable thing about the unconscious mind, it does not know right or wrong. The unconscious mind is pure energy and simply will manifest whatever you say. All brain research shows that whatever you say, the unconscious mind's job is to make it a fact. I am so fat. She wants to be fat. I'm so stupid. She wants to be stupid. And you say stupid things. And you do stupid things. And you only do it because you say you're stupid. But somehow you think it's kind of cute in all the different personalities they are in the clique. You're the stupid one. And it's like our little script we play. And it's very comfortable. And we let other friends in on what we secretly think about ourselves. Have you ever realized how many beautiful people they ask, movie stars that were created as sex symbols, what they think, and they said they never see it about themselves. They never thought that of themselves. The guy that does the beer commercial that was voted one of the sexiest men in America, and they ask him, he just thought the whole thing was a joke. He doesn't think he's good looking at all. And that's his own self-talk. And you're going, well, I wish I had his problem. Do you know, as ridiculous it was to hear him say that, and as sincere as he may have be, it's just as ridiculous to hear what you're saying about yourself, as sincere as you may be. It's just as ridiculous. It would be ridiculous for a speaker who has studied in a subject to get up and act as they talk to you like they know nothing. You didn't come to listen to somebody who knows nothing. That is a false humility, and it's always the way people are trying to present themselves rather than let it be what it is. They've got to frame it, decorate it, tuck it, present it. And all of this stuff gets in the way of what our goal was. Sometimes we're so lost in how we look when we're doing something that that's more important than what we're doing. How it looks to the world, what I'm doing here to you, could be more important to me than what I'm really doing here. If I'm not careful. How many people attend this church can be more important than the quality of the spiritual teachings of this church if I do not have self-control and self-management. Because according to the way I think, and I'm going to use the brain that is mine, is going to determine how I'm going to live my life. And I admit, I really muck it up at times. But the thing you'll have to give me credit for, I am the most consistent person seeking after truth you'll ever find in your life. I'll let it do what it wants to me. I will not give up. I will stay in there. I will find it. People say it's throwing good money after bad. And my grandmother said, no, just don't change your horses in midstream. We're in midstream, a lot of us. Can you feel when the midstream hits you? Can you feel when you hit the point of no return towards any goal? I think it's natural that we feel these things. There is situation that happens, and it's situational self-talk. Sometimes you cannot do anything about the situation you're in. But how you talk and how you program that to the mind, you can do everything about it. Sometimes when Don's driving me and I have to be at a lecture and we don't know where we're going and we're stuck on the freeway and I've got 5 minutes to be there and it's still another 40 miles away, you should hear myself talk. You should hear my talking. Stop talking to Sarah. I'm talking about you, Donald. You should hear myself talk, and you should hear what I'm saying to him about him. How he does this. You do this all the time. You do this all the time. You never know where we're going. You always tell me you know where you're going. You do this all the time, Don. Self-talk. Program it right in there. That's when he's got to look and say, I'm fine, and he's fine, and I know where he's coming from. Because this is the way he acts in this situation. You back that off. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you know that how many times do you think you've heard, you'll never amount to anything as you were growing up? How many thousands of times do you think you've heard that? How many? How many times have you heard, you are the most selfish person, you don't think of anyone but yourself? How many times have you heard it? From parents, from lovers, from teachers, from peers, how many times have you heard it? Layer after layer, year after year, that's how we begin to see ourselves, and that's how we begin to talk to ourselves. And enlightenment is to take that cross, that limitation, that burden off your back, get your empowerment. Did you ever hear the word empower? You want your power back? You empower yourself once again by correcting your thinking and programming it the way you want, not just positive thinking. How many people think they want $1 million? I think prosperity. Prosperity, prosperity. Prosperity is your divine birthright. And the only people that I know that got rich off prosperity are those who wrote a book and all the poor people that bought it. And they did not get rich off the laws of prosperity. They got rich off of selling their book about prosperity. Am I right, sister? We do not see these people having any money outside of the money they made in making their book. I don't care what laws they work. Where does it begin? You start with positive thinking that you're going to be wealthy, and that is so far remote from where you live. That has nothing to do with reality. That is false thinking. That is wishful thinking. I'm going to see myself winning the lottery and having $1 million. That is not positive thinking. That's wishful thinking. That is not facing reality. When you set up self-talk, you start simple little goals. Instead of reaching out and saying, I'm going to be a millionaire, you start with the self that I enjoy my work. My work is going to bring me the abundance I need. I attract abundance. I feel that the universe is a supply system. It's a very positive affirmation, and you see increases. You see your needs being taken care of. Start with reality. Then you get up to there's enough to share and to spare without starting off with your $1 million and saying, gee, I can't make the first rung. It's too high. I have to wait to grow up a little bit. But someday, when I grow up, I know it's there. And I can handle all this misery because I know the rung is there. Well, hell, that's enough to stunt your growth. And there you are with this religiously stunted growth trying to reach up to a high rung of the ladder, knowing it's there, but it's just simply out of our reach. A lot of the things that we do, like, I'm going to get $1 million, what do you get up and do about that? How much motivation is in that thought? You want a thought that's simple enough that you can put into action. Because there's got to be motivation. Things in energy tend to remain in energy. Even if that calms you down about your job, even if you're talking to yourself, this is the situation I am. I can handle the problems of my job. I can handle this job. I like my job. I quit smoking by telling people I was a non-smoker. They looked at me after I was doing that show like I was crazy. And I felt crazy because I was sitting there holding a cigarette, telling my brain I am a non-smoker. I don't smoke. Because that wasn't me smoking. I don't smoke. I don't know what part of this of me is. I don't smoke. That message goes to the unconscious mind and says, he doesn't smoke. One day I found the cigarette going out, and I knew when it was. It was February, Valentine's Day. I put out the cigarette, and the voice inside my head says, that's your last one. I said, okay. There are moments where that kills me, but it only lasts 20 seconds, and it's gone. Every time I'm sitting down with Jean, I'm after her to quit smoking. We're sitting in the vestry, and I looked at her and go, oh, God, I wish I smoked. That was self-talk. I heard it. And then I explained to her, I don't really want to smoke. No. And Jean says, that's what I'm afraid of. That those things, I said, Jean, they only last about 20 seconds, and it's totally gone. I know I can last 20 seconds. That's a positive step that I can handle. Those nicotine fits are 20 seconds long, and I'm only having them about twice a day now. And I can handle 20 seconds of, can't you? If you know that it's going to be over in 20 seconds, and this is a goal you want to reach, you could do it, can't you? Sometimes your thinking just needs to hold out for 20 more seconds. Just hold on there with your goal and your desire. How many times then does self-talk confirm the negative? There was some percentages done I want to talk to you about. This is research on the brain research. 77% of thinking is negative. 77% of your thinking is negative. Well, now what do you expect? Life is a bitch and then you die. If 77% of your thinking is negative about life, you bet your bippy life's a bitch and then you die. You said so. 77% of you think so. And in any election, that's a hell of a majority to win by. 77%. Is he shaking you? Let's smack him back. I can watch you all and do this. Now, 77% of thinking is negative, counterproductive, and works against us. Now, we're trying to get somewhere, and we're trying to get religious, or trying to get spiritual, or trying to get a technique, and all it is taking a little bit of self-management and paying attention to your self-talk, and keeping your self-talk relative and positive and motivated. You are the power. Listen to this one. 75% of all illness is self-induced. 75%, this is research, of all illness is self-induced. That's right up there with the 77% of most of our thinking is negative. Now, repetition is a very convincing argument. The more you hear you're stupid, The more you say to yourself, I'll never make it in the church. We'll never make it. We'll never grow. We'll never get off this corner. Self-talk. What is that self-talk going to see in awareness? What doors has it opened me to? What alternatives can that kind of thinking present to me? It can't. And the more you say that, the more you repeat it, repetition is a most convincing argument. And how many times do you say this about yourself over and over and over and over? You have thought this. You have said this so many times that now you're willing to die to protect what you think about yourself simply because you've thought it for so long. You might as well stick with it now. And you go to Jesus and get saved. And wait for a rapture somewhere. Are you with me at all? Say yes, sir. Good, that's worth $2 million right there. So repetition is a very convincing argument. Science demands that when it's investigating psychic phenomena. The experiment must be able to be repeated and repeated and repeated exactly as it's done, and it must come out each time. And if it can't, then they won't accept the psychic experiment. Which is a little unfair, because there's so many elements that cause that. Science demands repetition. You and I have taken it all to heart, and it's written, as a man believes in his heart, so it is with him. I don't care what you're practicing to believe. Let me ask you what you really think about yourself. Maybe you don't know, and maybe it's time you really listened and paid attention to what you think about yourself. Maybe it's time, instead of buying everybody's tape and book, you sat down with your tape recorder and made yourself a very positive self-talk tape in your voice, which is simple. And we'll even lay out the book for you where it gives you the instructions of how to create a self-talk tape. I need to create one so when I'm in my bathroom shaving every morning that I've got to do, that I could push this little button and have it remind me of what I love about this church and what I love about these people and what good opportunity I have this day to handle, rather than go up and say, oh, another day, and I hope the mail was good, and I hope the money came today, and I hope we have enough budget to do the television show. Oh, I don't want to go down there and handle any more of this again. My stomach hurts. Doctor! I get so bad in this image that I refuse to let anyone call the doctor for me. I'll die before I call the doctor. In fact, that almost took my life. What, 7 years ago, I refused to let Don call the doctor. When he finally did, I got there. They said, it's too late. And it was. They gave me 10% chance. I always do that. I wouldn't call him this time. I've been very ill. Because I don't know. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I love you so much, and you love this place so much, but there isn't enough of you helping me keep this place here. It's like I carry it by myself, trying to get this fixed, or the roof fixed, or this painted, with the exception of a handful of people. I'm almost crazy. The termites, eggs and crap are falling so much in my bathroom. Jeff noticed you can wash them down the sink, and you wash your hands. You say, why don't they clean the sink? And you wash the termite eggs away, and you go back 5 minutes later, and it's full again. They're eating my house. When it rains, it leaks, and all of this happened, and the Easter sherbs and everything, I can't do it. And not only will I show you I can't do it, I want to show you how ill it's making me. 75% self-induced. It's my right. God knows I have a right to. Do I want to put that right into option? Do I want to exercise that right? And have I done all this just so I could exercise that power and that right? Because it is my choice to do so. Or to grow up and talk to you right and continue to encourage you by a real self-belief of how important this place is to all of us, not to me, but how important this place is to all of us and how we share this and how important we are in the scheme of things out there, that we are a part of that greater organism. That our part of spirituality is important in the body of religion as any other. Our part is very important, and we must see that that part is there and maintained by us. What you do, how you act, how successful you are, is dependent on conditioning. Here's a question. What would you do different tomorrow if you weren't you? What would you do different tomorrow if you weren't you? I have come to know that I wouldn't do anything different. I would just go about what I'm going to do tomorrow in a different way. I have learned that the difference is not to make all things. There's a sign out there. I read it today. I never read the front sign. And it said, make all things new, not all new things. And what I have to do for me is to make this new and vital and fresh for me, as you have to make your own life that way. And listen, if there is a Satan, it's got to be yourself. It's got to be your own anti-personality that's been layered on you year after year that puts you down and calls you out. It blocks you in relationships. You know you're always going to get hurt in relationship. And you know you aren't worth loving. So what are they really doing? Are they using you? Are they living with you because they can't live with anyone else? Are they living with you because you're working hard? Because you know you don't deserve the kind of love you want. How do you like to love someone who feels that way about themselves? Isn't that sad? But isn't it true? The whole idea in metaphysics was to increase self-awareness. It has become such a complex and corporate game with all its trappings of speaking in tongues and its psychic gifts and mercuries and retrogrades and all these things, just like all the fundamentalists have. We can put our peacock feathers up in metaphysics and match any fundamentalist religion there is. They got their sand traps. We have ours. And it's all much simpler than that. This place is to meet each other, to sing, to be together, to give praise to the intelligence that guides us. It is not a place of petitioning. This place is a place of self-awareness. This is a place where we build our self-esteem. We do not bow down and scream that we are guilty before God and carry on. If Jesus died for our sins and we are all forgiven, and that's what the scripture says, then we're all forgiven. Period. They're paid for. The only person they're going to hurt from here on in is us, because there's no punishment coming from anywhere else. There's no punishment coming from God or anywhere else. Any punishment that we're going through is self-inflicted, because now we insist on doing what we're doing, even though we know we shouldn't be doing it. It's not what we really want to do, and it is wrong, and we know that, but what the hell, I'm going to do it anyway, because that's me. Or is that what I've become? Would you really humor me so that my life with you is very worthwhile? Will you really, between now and Sunday, at least give me that much time and say, yes, Damien, I will. Because this is not giving me anything. I will become aware of my self-talk. Will you write it down at the end of the day? Will you examine it? Will you set times, if you've got a beeper on your watch or whatever, beep it in an hour and say, okay, tell me what you've been thinking this hour and write it down. Will you get a hold of your self-talk? Take the power back, and then you step into self-management and self-control. And when you're in a situation you cannot change, accept the situation. When I'm stuck on that freeway, I'll try it the next time with Don. He doesn't know where I'm going. I'm saying, everything's fine. I'm fine. This is fine. It'll all work out okay. You can use this time to get your mind together. You can run in late and be charming and say traffic and everybody will laugh and applaud. It'll all be wonderful. I'm fine. It'd be a hell of a lot better to walk into a lecture I've got to do, even if I am 20 minutes late with that attitude, than the attitude I could walk in with. Self-management. In any situation that you cannot even change, that does not look like its conditions can change, can still be drastically and completely changed. By who? You. Me. Amen? So we come here for help. Our churches should speak to us on physical healing, on mental healing, on spiritual healing. I'm asking you to use the brain God gave you, because science has proven to you that the most unique thing about the brain is it can even observe itself. I am only asking you to pull into play what is called in psychic realms or in psychology, the observer. You're asking the observer to come in to observe these few days how you think about yourself, what you say about yourself, and what you say about others. And find out if you can decrease that 77% and if you can decrease that 75% of illness within you. Amen? Now, I'm going to pay real strict attention to me in the next few days. I'm asking you to join me spiritually. Let's connect ourselves. Let's become each other's commitment and promise. As I'm doing this with myself, I'll be thinking of you as my church. And I see faces when I think of my church. They just come. Most of the time I can shut my eyes and stand here wherever I am because most of you sit in the same pews all the time. Most of you. So it makes the rest that move around to spot easy. And Bob's always in that pew. That's his pew. I know where the choir is always going to be sitting. There's certain people that sit in a certain place all the time. I really like that about you. Now, I will be thinking of you. You can call it praying for you. I want you to be thinking of me. And let us all agree that we will give each other. Now, we said unconscious processes are starting. Unconscious processes are starting. Because we're making a commitment on a conscious level that's going to stir the unconscious processes to be aware of each other and to be supportive of each other as we now step into the lesson of self-discovery, self-awareness, self-management, self-control, success. Praise be the name of Jesus Christ.
You feel better? Mm-hmm. Say hello to somebody. Say something nice to someone.
There's a reason for this warm, sweet night, and there's a reason for this warm, sweet night, so there's a reason. All around us. So let that feeling grab you deep inside and send you reeling where your love can't hide, and then go stealing through the summer nights with your lover. Just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love grow with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show. And you know what I mean of the season. Just let your love fly like a bird on the wing, and let your love bind you to all living things, and let your love shine. And you'll know what I mean. Oh, that's the reason. There's a reason for the warm, sweet nights, and there's a reason for the candle lights. Must be the season when those love lights shine all around us. So let the wonder take you into space, and may you wonder it's love and embrace. So feel the thunder as it warms your face. You can't hold back. Just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love grow with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show. And you'll know what I mean. Oh, it's the season. Just let your love fly like a bird on the wing, and let your love find you to all living things, and let your love shine. And you'll know what I mean. That's the reason. Like a mountain stream, and let your love grow with the smallest of things, and let your love show. And you'll know what I mean. It's the season. Oh, let your love fly like a bird on the wing, and let your love shine with the smallest of things, and let your love shine. And you'll know what I mean. That's the reason. Oh, that's the reason. That's the reason.
Hey, Sarah.
Hawaii, Sarah.
Hawaii.
Poor baby.
Sarah's going to.
Was over. Now she's going to Hawaii for 2 weeks vacation.
She's getting her master's degree.
Oh,
and she's going to Hawaii.
That's great.
The Jews used to do that. They used to curl, you know, the long curl. When they twirl in the church, this means poor bitch. Yeah. Very appropriate. Don't be scandalized. Oh, I just don't know what color to paint my new house.
And I bet you've always wondered what they meant when they were doing that to you. That's great, Sarah. Well, we're not going to ask for $28
million. Yes, we are.
Tonight. Tonight. We're going to build to it, though, aren't we? And this is, this portion of the service comes every Thursday night, every Sunday morning. Thank you, because it is a part of everything that there is. Mm-hmm. This is an honest, needed, necessary part. Not of just what happens here, but it's part of you. It's part of what, part of learning and understanding and growing. So it's great. Do your best, because it is for all of us.
It's the blood of this body. A body needs blood. A body needs breath. This is the breath and the blood of this body. It's its strength. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Are you a part of this body?
Yes.
Let love carry you along. You gotta let love carry you along. You gotta lean.
I wanted to remind you of a few things this evening. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock is our board meeting. So please, you know, all of you who are on the board or going to be, please be there. The retreat this month is 25th, 26th, 27th, and there are still openings. And it would be a wonderful time for you to go. Now, we also need somebody with a truck or has a truck available to them. We need some help in getting some bookshelves and things out of the production office out to the garage that we have. So if any of you have a truck or one is available to you, please let us know. And I would like for you also to remember the tithing box out in the foyer there. It's been a while since Damien's been here, and I'm sure he needs some little extra help. So please remember that this evening.
Well, there was $11 in the tithing box, and I tell you that so you'll know that we really don't. He didn't like hot dogs last week.
Can I tell you all something?
Sure.
Something I wanted to keep you all informed of, because I think this is one of the greatest stories to ever hit the press. It's about those angels that the Russians saw in outer space. Well, the story will not go away. Now, the original story broke and was hidden, and Russia would not comment on this story. What's the matter?
Nobody, you don't have special privileges.
Well, jeez, you know? It cost $100 to see this. If that guy can do it, I can do it. I got a secret. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I have a secret. $100 if you want to know. Well, no. I have to tell. There were some, on two trips in outer space, the Russian cosmonauts reported back that they saw very incredible sights of seven angels, I think it was the first report, that these angels were so big that their wingspread was equal to one of the major jet airlines. That's how big the wingspread of these angels were. They were tracked by these angels. Now, it not only happened on one mission, but it happened again on another mission. The Russian scientific department just denied it flat out, would have nothing to do with the story, yet the story persisted. Finally, a French reporter got through to Moscow and was given permission to interview the scientist for 30 minutes. Now, once they denied there was anything to this, now Russia will only say no comment. I'm going to ask you to bear with me as I try to read this. I think this is very important. This is taken from the World Weekly News, the week of April the 4th in the World Weekly News. It's by Scott Thompson. Reports that Soviet cosmonauts sighted a band of angels on a space mission last summer have been disputed by a Russian researcher who says the celestial apparitions were actually fields of pure energy and alien intellect. I wonder what you'd call that. Angel. See, and they'll tell you why they won't call them angels. Because they say they can't, because they're atheists. The Soviet government has finally reported, the researcher says that the celestial apparitions, what they saw, were pure energy with alien intellect, okay? In an interview with French journalist André de Mauvoir, Dr. Yuri Manokov said that the cosmonauts initially referred to the beings as angels simply because they had wings. But now all that the facts are in, he said there can be no doubt the creatures descended from a race of humanoids who shed their bodies after reaching the top of the evolutionary ladder. That's out of Russia. Are you ready for this? Don't you find this exciting? Say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But now the Russian scientists say, but now that all the facts are in, he said, there can be no doubt the creatures descended from a race of humanoids who shed their bodies after reaching the top of the evolutionary ladder. I have studied every aspect of the cosmonauts' reports, and this is my conclusion, said the astrophysicist. This is from Russia. I realize that Christians around the world would like to believe that this phenomenon is proof of their God in heaven. But as communists, as atheists, we Soviets take a purely scientific approach. We have not let religious superstition distort the facts. And we say these beings are far from angels, even if they did have wings.
As reported in the news last October, the cosmonauts claim to have seen the beings while orbiting Earth in Salut 7 3 months earlier. Accounts of the incident that were smuggled to the West quoted the cosmonauts as saying that a brilliant orange glow engulfed their craft. The source of the light, they said, was seven giant figures in the form of humans, but with wings and mist-like halos. They appeared to be hundreds of feet tall, with wingspan as great as any jetliner. The apparition reportedly tailed the craft for 10 minutes. The 43 seconds of film they got were enormously revealing, Makarov said. They have film of this. This is what the astrophysics in Russia studied before they made their statement to the world. They are not angels. It's a higher intellect, an alien. But I think this is good news. I don't care how they handle it, don't you? I knew there was something there, man. The form seemed to change continually, he said. This is on their film. The beings appear solid, then misty. They are nothing like the classic descriptions of angels, which are corporeal like humans. The French interviewer interviewed Manokov, I think his name is M-A-N-A-K-O-V, is the Russian scientist, on the grounds of space research facility in the Ural Mountains. He said he requested the interview in a letter to the Soviets in late October and was informed in January that he would be allowed 30 minutes with the researcher. Curiously, government officials who once denied the cosmonauts saw anything extraordinary now responded to the queries with no comment. As far as the veracity of the claims, I can only say that I faithfully reported what he told me, the French journalist said. Isn't that incredible? Out of Russia, you know what is always said? Out of Russia will come a marvelous light, has always been the prophecy. So everybody can get upset about Russia and everything. I still will hold to the self-talk I was told how to talk to myself. And the prophecy was, out of Russia will come a marvelous light. I think it's nice that Russians are atheist, because they will peel away all the religious garbage. What is spiritually pure and true will not be peeled away. And won't it be nice to have someone bring you God who is an atheist? Won't that be clean and revealing? We have heard so many men's versions of God. In the scriptures, it says, out of the hardness of your hearts you have fashioned me. However you conceive me in your heart, that's how God is with us. And we have a God that's a biblical God that's full of fear and hatreds and guilt, because that's how we conceive ourselves, that's how we conceive him. But the time of revelation of God's empowerment to his people, our right dignity, our destiny as the human race, which takes in all the colors of the human family, the rainbow that Jackson talks about, we see this whole beautiful organism and how wonderful it really is. And that day is coming. And I think, call me what we may, that God has ordained you and me and the people that work with me to put the good news on the television, to put all this research on television, and we keep a revelation of truth burning out there that I think is absolutely wonderful. And that is our job. We may seem small, but we are mighty in our reach. You'd be surprised how mighty our reach is on that television show. And I want you to help me to keep on doing it even better and better and better, to keep that window open so anything that we find in this research and the light and this kind of news that is not interesting enough, because it's not gud and scandal and gore and murder and mafia, it's not interesting enough, so the news media isn't interested in it. They can't do too much with it. This becomes our job. This is the good news we spread. So please remember that you and I are, I think, play a vital, important part, because without us, this part wouldn't exist. And the problem with the part we're in, it's full of garbage, it's full of nonsense, it's full of shysters, con artists, people who are too lazy to work, who do reincarnation readings that cannot be proven or disproven. It's built on a lot of garbage. But in the center of that is a seed of truth that is absolutely wonderful. And it does have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it does have the psychic gifts that you're talking about. It is all there, but we must learn how to approach it with a holy heart. We really must learn it. And a holy heart is learning how to think holy about this human race, about this planet, about the different nationalities and religions. It must step into an era of love. And I think we can help that happen. And I think we can show what happens now scientifically when we're coming out of the heart center. Amen?
Amen.
I think that this is exciting news out of Russia. and I'm looking for more. So anybody that sees any more of it, please bring it in. We want to collect this news. A couple hundred feet tall, huh? Whew. Angels watching overhead, my dear. Amen.
The wonderful thing about reality is that what really is there speaks to us. You don't have to think about it or work it up or do anything. It's there and it's really evident, whether it's nature or whether it's the Russians, or it doesn't matter. The fact that we can get together and compare notes and find such a wonderful feeling and a wonderful reality is where it is for us. And I love being a part of you. In fact, I guess I've got 17 years being a part of you. When you see the moon rising gently on a field, and the wind blows slowly on your face, if the sunset lingers while cathedral bells peal, and the moon has risen to her place, you can thank the Father for the things he's done. Thank him for the things he's yet to do. And if you find a love that's tender, if you find someone who's true, thank the Lord, he's been doubly good to you. If you look in the mirror at the end of a hard day, and you know in your heart you have not lied, if you give love freely and you've earned an honest wage, then all the angels are on your side. You can thank the Father for the things he's done. Thank him for the things he's yet to do. If you find a love that's tender, if you find someone who's true, thank the Lord, he's been doubly good to you. You can thank the Father for the things he's done. Thank him for the things.
Thank him for the things.
If you find a love that's tender, if you find someone who's true, thank the Lord, he's been doubly good to you. Just thank the Lord, he's been doubly good to you. Believe.